Thanks Radio Sport.
Good evening, sports fans. Rob Pritchard here, taking you through the latest sporting news from around the island. I hope you've had a wonderful week. Coming up on today's programme, the Isle of Man's golf season is continuing full steam ahead. We'll be taking a look at some of the critical fixtures in the Scratch League, with six teams set to battle it out for the title. Hype was huge around skateboarding at the 2020 Olympics in Tokyo this summer, but what is the skateboarding scene like on the Isle of Man? We've been speaking to someone in the know. Camp Fever swept the nation a few weeks ago with the Manx Missiles exploits in the Tour de France. Now one of the island's major cycling events is just around the corner, and we're going to hear about that, as well as motocross making its return this weekend. That's to come. So, kicking things off this evening, the island's golf scene, as I mentioned, has been going strong this summer, with some of the latest competition not far from reaching their exciting conclusion. Here to take us through a little bit more is Andrew Horn. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks very much for having us, Rob.
So, obviously, one of the big things that's been going on in the last week or so, well, the last couple of weeks, I should say, is the Men's Scratch League. It's coming to an important phase. What can you tell us about what's going to be happening over the next few weeks or so?
Well, Rob, the situation is that we've had a round-robin league system, which has left us with the playoffs now to define the champion who'll represent the island in the England Golf County Champions event. So the top six teams are playing off in order to find the winner, and the bottom five teams from the league are playing in a pike competition. So the first match is this week, will be between the reigning champions Mount Murray at home to Castletown B. Should be a good contest. I know Mount Murray are keen to try and maintain the trophy that they won for the first time last year. But they'll have a difficult match against Castletown B, and the winners of that will play the hot favourites Castletown A at Castletown. The advantage of being the top of the league after the round robin events is that you get home course advantage right through to the final if you can make it. And I think most people would expect Castletown A ultimately to reach the final, but Mount Murray and Castletown B, particularly Castletown B, would love to take their A team on in the semi-finals. The other match this week sees Douglas Golf Club down at Paul Rose. They'll be taking on Peel A for the right to play the team that finished second in the league, which is Ramsey up north at the Ramsey Golf Club. So it'll be a close match between Douglas and Peel, though I would expect Douglas to take full advantage of local knowledge around the course at Paul Rose, and I would expect them to come through to play Ramsey a week later, and I would think that will be a cracking match. For anybody that wishes to go up and watch these matches, they start at 6 p.m. Between 5:30 and 6 p.m. and there's some really, really good golf to watch. There's six players aside and they play match play. In the plate competition, there's only one match this week, which sees Port St Mary take on King Edward Bay to have the right to play Rowney. This week, Port St Mary won by a single point, 3.5 to 2.5, so I'm certain King Edward Bay will be looking for revenge.
Excellent. And also coming up after that as well, the golf scene won't be over, but we've got the senior championships coming up, an exciting prospect.
Yeah, very much so. It's always a popular event. It's played on a Stapleford basis, but we're looking for the island's best over 55 male player and over 50 women's player to represent the island again at a major, major event in the UK at Woodall Spa, which is the national golf site in the UK. So we have 191 people teeing it up at Peel on the 22nd. Now, favourites in the ladies' event would be my sister-in-law, Shirley Price. I usually call her Glover because that was her maiden name, which does annoy her. So hopefully she's listening tonight. The other people that will also be in contention will be Barbara Monk, who was last year's winner, and Anne Gundry, who's just retired and her standard of golf has improved no end. In the men's event, Mark Pugh's the defending champion and also a member at Peel, so therefore he will be the favourite, though Jeff Ward, Tam Dick will probably have something to say in that.
Andrew, thank you very much, and all the best in the Scratch Leagues and with the Senior Championships coming up in the future.
Manx Radio Sport.
Now, many around the world were eagerly anticipating two new sports which made their debut at the 2020 Olympics in Tokyo this summer. Skateboarding and BMX weren't just a spectacle to watch in general, but Team GB secured medals across both sports. One of the headlines was in the skateboarding, where 13-year-old Sky Brown became Britain's youngest ever Summer Olympian. She secured bronze in the Park skateboarding final. And that got me thinking, given the hype around Sky's remarkable achievement, what is the skateboarding scene like on the Isle of Man? Well, to find out, I headed over this week to the Shredhouse Skate Park, based on the Tremode Estate. I spoke to their skateboarding instructor, Liam McKee, about the skateboarding scene on Manx Shores, and also got his thoughts on seeing the sport he loves taking to the Olympic stage.
It was incredible. You know, it's revolutionary. We have never seen this before. We obviously took a British Olympic medal for the first time ever on skateboarding. And the reason I say that is because there was only two girls riding that were British. Even in the men's, there wasn't anyone who qualified for British skateboarding representation. So the fact that the girls did it and the fact that we've got that bronze medal, it's amazing for the UK and for the Isles. Absolutely.
Obviously, everyone was taken by the story of Sky Brown, Britain's youngest ever Olympic medalist. You know, it could inspire a new generation, but not just in terms of the people getting involved, but for skateboarding as a whole. How much do you think something like that could raise the identity of it?
Again, an immeasurable amount, because it's a bunch of people. It's a bunch of people that are now having eyes on the sport that have never really been looking at it. So people that watch the Olympics, I imagine there might be a ratio or proportion that would be interested in skateboarding, but there'll be an even bigger mass that have never seen it and never had their eyes on it. And we've seen that from reports from it. There are various newspapers that have done reports on it and really given it absolute thumbs up from what they've seen as their first time really seeing competitive skateboarding.
Like I said, that's it's a fantastic image for skateboarding across the whole of Great Britain. In terms of the Isle of Man, what's the scene like here?
It's brilliant. It is. So I'm originally from the UK. I've been on the island now, I think, about 3 years. And the UK scene was good. Obviously, it's a much bigger landmass. But on the island, it's a really condensed, popping scene. So it's not sparse. There are people in each town that are very avid skateboarders, some of them as old as me, that are as versed as me, been skateboarding 10, some 15, some even 20 plus years. And the scene on the island definitely has good representation. They've been going for some of them, two decades, yeah.
Now, of course, we're sat here today in the Shred House, based in Douglas. Could you just explain for those who don't know yet some of the skateboarding facilities you've got here?
Absolutely. So we've got a really decent sized park. It's a beginner to intermediate park. I don't know the square footage, but it's more than enough for someone to come down at a beginner, intermediate, even advanced level, and have a variety of obstacles and skills that they can practice and hone in. So it's, as I say, the best way to word it is a brilliant beginner to intermediate skate park for you to get to grips of things and even to advance onto higher levels.
And in terms of some of the activities and classes that go on here, could you explain a couple of those? What do they involve?
Of course. So at the minute we're in half term time. So that means that we've got a club running every weekday morning. So that's 9:30 to 12:30. At the minute we're finishing a week of skateboarding. Next week will be scooters. And what we do is we offer during that time, it's basically a youth club where I look after the children, but I'm also coaching them at the same time. And we're just trying to get them all up to the level that they would like to be, also challenge themselves, but most importantly to have fun. On the general goings on, we normally run 3-hour block sessions, and you can come down and pay on the door or book online, but it's all aimed at having fun riding, and there's coaching offered separately also.
Yeah, just on that point there, obviously there may be those who are really looking to, you know, hone their skills going forward, but there may be some who just want to come down, to socialise and just relax and enjoy it. How important is it to have that variety available to just cater to any type of, you know, person who walks through the door and wants to either try it out or even push competitively?
For sure, yeah. We have, again, it's all here. There's a nice array of benches where you can sit down and spectate. Sometimes spectating is just as important as being involved directly yourself, because you can learn from watching, but more importantly, enjoy seeing someone ride. And while you're watching them, you'll get that as well.
So in terms of the lessons that you carry out as instructor, if we're going if we're talking about, let's say, the beginner and intermediate side of things to start with, could you just give us an insight into a couple of the sort of things people might be learning?
For sure. So from the ground up, if you want specifics, this is inside information now. We start from the screws or the bolts. So the first thing I would teach a young one is that they need to stand on the screws on the skateboard to have their balance honed in. Then after that, we would move shortly onto pushing. And after pushing, you've got to grips with the maneuverability, so you can advance onto the ramps. You'd be slowly progressing up and down a ramp, and then there's a phrase called dropping in. And dropping in is a technique that we use at the top of the ramp to go down it. It would be tricky to explain in words, but basically you have the board hanging out of the ramp at a sort of 45 degree angle. You're hanging over what feels like a cliff sometimes, but it's not. It's only a tiny ramp. It's just that sort of vertigo feeling. And then once you overcome that vertigo feeling, you're just pushing your board down into the ramp, and that's how you would drop in. Hopefully those words convey it in your head.
And in terms of the more advanced stuff, once you get beyond that, like to the intermediate level, I'm not asking you to go through your entire catalogue of things, but just as a general flavour, if someone's at intermediate level, what are the sort of things they step into then?
So there's various ways that you can go in skateboarding. On the floor, those types of tricks, we could be doing things like ollies, kick flips, varial kick flips, 360 flips, pop shove-its, heel flips. Those would be the sort of intermediate before you're going to advanced. And then on the ramps, there's a separate kettle of tricks. So you'd be looking at things like 50-50 grinds, maybe tail stalls, tail slides, board slides on the coping. All of these words might be very niche or subject specific, but you'll get to grips with those if you come down and have a look. But again, I could go on forever. There are a plethora of tricks that I can list, but those are some of the intermediate ones that you'd be learning.
And I know we touched on it briefly, but just to go back to it, in terms of the uptake on the island in skateboarding, from what you've seen, how has it been?
It's been amazing. So obviously with Corona and everything, the Olympics was postponed, and the actual time that skateboarding was announced in the Olympics, I could be wrong, but it's somewhere within 10 years. I'd say, as a guess, maybe 6 or 7 years ago, it was announced that it was going to be in this Olympics that's just gone. That has been a build-up that entire time, and there has been an explosion of interest in the sport that entire time, and then there's been an even bigger boom now that it was aired on TV. So it's been, if you imagine a graph, it has been a steady uphill climb and then an even bigger spike when the Olympics was televised, but it's been a gradual upward boom for the last 2, 3, maybe even 4 years on the island, definitely.
Now, we mentioned Skye Brown, of course, before, and obviously, you know, the great image that she has portrayed as well, not just for skateboarding, but, you know, skateboarding for, you know, girls who previously may have not considered taking it up. What's the uptake been like among girls here specifically?
There is definitely a bunch of rad girls on the island. Another word there, skateboard word. But there's a bunch of really rad young ladies that are outweighing the boys, and I love to see it. Skye has most probably definitely been the biggest impact on that, coaching and coercing these girls into feeling more confident and wanting to get on the board. But yeah, there's definitely a bigger ratio of girls to boys on the island, and I'm happy to say that.
And finally, you said just then there's been an upward curve, as it were, in terms of interest. For yourselves, and obviously there are other skating facilities across the island, just looking at skateboarding in general, where do you feel it could go in the next few years? What are you hoping?
The dream would be for us to obviously get enough growth to move into a bigger unit and offer a bigger skate park, maybe as well as this one, having a beginner lot and then an intermediate to advanced skate park. But definitely for the future, more indoor skate parks on the island, more outdoor skate parks on the island, and in general, just more people giving it a go and taking it up. That is what I believe will happen.
Manx Radio Sport.
plenty to come from that in the future, I'm sure. So, moving on, the Isle of Man was cheering on Mark Cavendish only a couple of weeks ago as he closed in on making history in this year's Tour de France. Cav equaled the record for the most tour stage wins this year with 34, equaling the great Eddie Merckx. But whilst Cavendish was denied the chance to beat the record on the final day in Paris, he did secure the iconic green jersey for the most points scored. Now, looking closer to home, the island will host a major cycling event of its own in just a few weeks' time. And here to tell us more about that is Paul Phillips. Paul, thank you for joining us.
Hi, thank you.
So, the event in question, let's get straight down to it, is the Gran Fondo Isle of Man. And just as a bit of a recap, I guess, for those who haven't taken part in it before and who may not know the ins and outs of it, could you just give us a general overview of what those involved and those even spectating can be looking forward to?
Yeah, so this is our sixth edition of Gran Fondo Isle of Man. It's Gran Fondo is big, it means big race in Italian. And it's it has five different events over the weekend of the 4th and 5th of September. The Gran Fondo is the main event. It's 85 miles on mostly closed roads, which is a race for those at the front and a big challenge for those who in the mid pack and at the back. And then we have the Medio Fondo over 40 miles, the Piccolo Fondo for really for families and newbies around 20 miles. We also have an event called the Minuscolo Fondo, which is really aimed at kids and is takes place on a closed 1 mile loop at the Murrick Park. And this year we also have a time trial using part of the mountain road. And also this year, for the first time, we are a part of the Gran Fondo World Series, which is been a big deal for us. We should have been last year, and it was obviously we didn't run the full event because of lockdown. And it's our first time as part of that, and there's a lot of implications for us around that.
Now, of course, not just the restrictions we saw in place here and around the world last year, but this year things have chopped and changed, obviously, depending on what restrictions have needed to be in place for obvious reasons. But putting on an event of this scale, and as you say, with the added status of being that qualifying event as well, there must be plenty of operations and logistics, I guess, to have to consider going into that. What challenges did that present over the last few months? Because I imagine this is something that has to be done reasonably in the long term.
Yeah, it takes us a year to plan it. We have a really big team of around 50 people working on it. An excellent team of people who have lots of people with event experience or experience from the blue light services. And it's really, really complex, and the logistics are really difficult. Closing down vast swathes of the islands, rural roads at different times in different ways, running through hundreds of different junctions, and all of the running, you know, medical provision and race control and emergency services and all of that. It's a massive undertaking, and I don't think people always understand that. But it's a real privilege to ride your bike, whether you're racing or doing it for recreational reasons on closed roads, with all of that infrastructure around you and all that sort of professional organisation. And it's, you know, it's satisfying to work on it and pull that together. The scale of the event, both in terms of the participants, the amount of the island that it takes in, and then, you know, added in the village and the atmosphere and the spectators and whatnot, it's turning into a really big event.
It's fantastic to see as well, obviously, that as part of it, there is obviously the competitive side and those who take part, but when you look at, say, the Minuscolo Fondo that goes around Morag Park, it's designed to be family friendly. Do you find with events like that, and also of course with the longer distance runs, that it gives a better opportunity for people to get involved in cycling, whether they want to really push themselves or just do it as a social exercise, you know, and just to maybe get fitter or something like that?
Yeah, absolutely. The success of our event has always been the accessibility of it. And it's a bit of a cliche, but it's true that if you have a bike, you can take part in an event as part of Gran Fondo Isle of Man, whether it's, you know, whether you're 3 years old with a balance bike, or you've got your first pedal bike which stabilizes, or you're a full-time professional rider. Last year, I think our oldest participant was 82, and our youngest was 2, and, you know, we have everything in between.
Excellent. And also, just to kind of round things off, I guess, entries are closing soon, very soon, in fact. Could you just give us a bit of information on if those who haven't signed up already want to get involved, what do they have to do?
Yeah, so entries close at midnight on Sunday. You can enter via our website, which is granfondoisleofman.com. And you can get all the other information about our events across social media at Gran Fondo IOM.
That's perfect. Thank you very much indeed, Paul. And finally, just staying on the subject of two wheels, there is, of course, a passionate following for the Isle of Man's motocross world. It, like any other sport locally, has faced its challenges over the last year over whether they have or haven't been able to host events. However, those of all ages who get involved will have the chance to get their fix again this weekend. Isle of Man's Schoolboy Motocross Club is hosting the event called The Return up at Ballygarrigan in the north of the island this Sunday. All age classes are being invited to take part in a series of different events on the day. The occasion will also be a Club Round 2 and Isle of Man Motocross Centre Round. To find out, details on entry fees and requirements for the return this weekend can be found at Isle of Man Schoolboy Motocross Club Facebook page. And taking a look, in fact, at that, we do also have a bit of a word from the chairman of the Isle of Man Schoolboy Motocross Club, chairman Graham Saunders. Sadly, we are not able to bring that. We're running out of time this evening, but it's likely to be over on the manxradio.com Facebook page. That is all from me this evening. Once again, thank you to my guests, Paul Phillips and Andrew Horn, for being here tonight. Until next time, bye for now.
Manx Radio Sport.